Rule number five. The hell with the rules. If it sounds right, then it is. Everyone has a story. Here's mine. Based on true events, most of it happened. After leaving DC, I decided to catch a flight back to New Orleans. I haven't been to Mississippi in a while, and I typically rack up a couple thousand there easily. Everyone wants to go to the big cities thinking that they're going to make a killing. What they fail to realize is that competition is so stiff, you really won't be doing the amount of business you could in the smaller town next door. Plus, when people have options, they tend to haggle. And the last thing you should ever do is lower your rates to chase a dollar. Upon my arrival, I coordinate with Bottom Bitch to pick me up from the airport so that we can head out. No matter how advance of a notice I give this man, he still shows up late. As he pulls up in his little red Beetle, I pop two melatonins. Time for some well-needed rest after lugging this damn table around the USA. Hey, how you doing? Why are you late?
I overslept. I had a long night.
TM fucking I, bro. You got a haircut?
Yeah, you like it?
Sure, it looks like mine. The mini fro was cuter.
Yeah, I switched barbers.
Why?
Just trying something different. I went to Mike.
My barber?
Yeah.
Anytime I take a road trip, Bottom Bitch does the driving while I sleep. That way, once I arrive, I have enough energy to hit the ground running. When traveling in the Deep South, try to go bright and early. It's definitely not smart taking any chances with cops in these parts of town.
You like my outfit?
Bitch, do you have on my clothes?
Nah, silly. I went shopping and bought some stuff.
What did you get?
Just some joggers and a few shirts. I'm trying to revamp my style.
I didn't pay attention at first, but this bitch looked like a pale version of me. To say it was a little creepy would be an understatement. I'll just have to deal with it later. I keep myself on a strict rotating travel schedule. The goal is to garner enough regular clientele so that whenever you visit certain cities, you'll know you're guaranteed to make at least a minimum amount from them. For some reason, Bottom Bitch is always tired. He's been furloughed from work for months now and still on his night shift schedule. I have to constantly make sure he's awake while driving, which fucks up my beauty rest. You up? Hey, wake up!
Huh? I'm awake?
No, you weren't. You should really go to sleep at night.
I'm still stuck on my night shift schedule.
You haven't worked the night shift in over a year, bro.
I still be up working. I just don't have to clock in.
Immediately upon arrival, I have a slew of clientele, some from previous visits and a few new people sprinkled in here and there. I rush and take a shower while Bottom Bitch prepares the massage table and manages my messages. Once they're screened to make sure they ain't pervs, crazy, or just wasting time, he gives them my cell phone number. I take over from there just in case they want to video chat to verify that I'm real. This process can take minutes or hours depending on the individual. No matter how much you screen them, a crazy or two will still slip through the cracks. I had to teach Bottom Bitch that the way he allows people to talk to him isn't going to fly with me. If they're too abrasive, demanding, demeaning, or disrespectful, block them immediately. The last client of the night is always the best or the worst for some reason. Possibly could have something to do with me being burnt out towards the end of the night and more susceptible to other people's energy. Either way, I'd just be ready to get it over with. This one was more of the latter, so much that I had to end the session early. We've been corresponding all day. He made it past the initial screening via the app and had moved to the text messages. Sometimes you will have to chat for a while to gain their trust. It's some psychotic people out here, so I totally understand wanting to feel a person out before visiting a hotel room to meet them. The Southern Belle works at Popeyes and offered to bring me everything from baked beans to a crispy sandwich. I respectfully declined, but it was a nice gesture. I had no idea he was going to be so, unique from our conversations. As his appointment time neared, his messages increased, asking a million and one things. Some were very generalized, but I see that he was heading in a direction I wasn't prepared to entertain. I complimented how respectful and nice he was, just to remind him to be just that. "I'm hungry.
Go get something to eat."
"Nothing is open that fits my diet."
"What? Jizz?"
"No, I'm a vegan now."
"Since when?"
"A few days now."
"Lord Jesus, now the bitch is even eating like me," I thought to myself. "I can't see you giving up meat, but congratulations."
"I still eat meat, I just don't bite."
"You're disgusting."
"Mm-hmm. Let me go before your little pen pal arrives."
"Peace out." It was finally time to meet my new text-happy friend, and boy, when I opened that door, I was surprised. He had to be around 4'11", 230 pounds. Just imagine a black Kirby. He was the stereotypical Southern Belle with a deep drawl and very dainty. He resembled a caricature. When I opened the door, he put the palm of his hand over his mouth as if he saw a ghost. I just stood there waiting for him to come in.
"Are you okay?"
I asked, moving his hand over his chest as if he was shocked, batting his eyes.
"Well, I do declare."
"Declare what?" I replied.
"Nothing, child."
He sashayed in the room, running his stubby fingers across my chest in an attempt to be alluring. He was dressed like someone's auntie, with floral pants, a fitted shirt, and a flowy cardigan. Watching him attempt to take off those clothes was excruciating. The temperature in the room is always pretty cold, but he still somehow broke a sweat. As he climbed on the stepping stool to get on the table, I quietly prayed, not knowing if my table is durable enough to hold the amount of weight that was about to be placed upon it. 5 minutes away, wiggling his way on top of the table, we were finally ready to get started. Now, out of breath, he struggled to ask me questions.
"So, where did a fine thing like yourself come from? And is there others?"
"Chicago.
I have an older sister and a younger brother," I replied, not sure if I answered the question correctly.
"I guess something in the buttermilk isn't clean in these parts of town, because they don't quite make them around here like you."
"Thank you," I replied, unsure if that was a compliment or not.
"It's been so long since I felt the touch of a man. My body can barely contain itself."
"Well, hopefully you enjoy the massage," I respond. He was pretty solid and didn't waste any time asking for more pressure. The pain from using my hands began to be too much to bear, so I switched to my wrist. As my wrist began to tighten, I switched to my forearms.
"Deeper, deeper, I want to feel it."
At this point, my eyes gazed frantically around the room for a broomstick, a 2x4, hell, anything that can help Kirby the Southern Belle feel something. It almost felt like I was massaging an exercise ball.
"You know, I typically go to another masseuse, but he was out of town."
"Well, hopefully I can be just as good as him."
"I don't know if that's possible, Shug,"
he responded.
"I understand," I replied. By this point, my forearms were beginning to feel weak, so I moved to my elbows.
he does this one thing that just...
He paused, then looked over his shoulder to make eye contact.
I probably shouldn't say.
As he put his hands over his mouth and pulling the imaginary hair behind his ear, I continued to massage, and from the current track that was playing, I still have more than 30 minutes left. He smelled like chicken grease and looked like a steroidal Thanksgiving turkey.
You know, my masseuse, he does this thing to me that just sends me over the edge, child.
What's that? I asked.
Well, I'm a little ashamed to say it.
I won't tell anyone, I responded.
Well, since you insist, I tell you, he sucks my dick from the back.
What? What did you just say?
I said, he sucks my dick from the back.
He finally revealed, while arching his back, putting an enormous amount of weight on the middle of my table. The horror! The horror! I thought to myself. Lost for words and having that visual stuck in my head was literally inhumane. I audibly gasped at the thought and tried to maintain my composure. I threw up in my mouth.
So he's into bestiality, I said under my breath.
What was that, Shug?
He asked, not hearing the observation I mistakenly made out loud. I said that's against my Christianity, jokingly, but was very serious. Still, with his butt up in the air, attempting to move his micro penis between his Indian burnt thighs, he began to recite a Bible verse.
Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, he recited.
Yeah, that part, I replied.
Everyone sins. We just have to repent, then turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
Fuck my life. 28 more minutes of this shit, I thought to myself. The longest hour ever.
Can you?
He asked me.
Can I what?
You know, suck my dick from the back.
He said, slightly arching his back. I don't know if or how that's physically possible, I thought. No, sir. That's not what I do.
You don't give no happy endings or nothing.
Nah, not my thing, I reiterated.
Us tops be wanting to have that massage too, he informed me.
Considering the fact that his penis looked like an innie, and I can't mentally fathom going in between the depths of hell that is his thighs to tug on it, I once again let him know that I, under no circumstances, can fulfill his request.
Well, you should have let me know this ahead of time, he proclaimed.
Do you go to Massage Envy and ask for that? I asked, now getting tired of the back and forth.
Well, Shug, this isn't Massage Envy.
I'm not doing it, okay?
No need to get testy. Too bad we can't leave reviews. I just think people ought to know.
Know what, exactly?
That you charging all this money without giving a release at the end.
The only release you need is from a sewing pen.
You look taller in your pics.
You looked human in yours. At this point, I have had enough. With 15 minutes left on the clock, I walked over and stopped the music. That's it.
That's it? I didn't even get all my time.
Yeah, I understand, I replied as I put on my clothes.
I think I should get a discount. You didn't give me a full hour, and you didn't suck my dick or nothing.
Just give me $100 and we can call it even, I quickly responded. As my table thanked me for relieving it of the heavy burden that it had to endure, I walked over to the restroom to start my shower and wash away the smell of McDonald's and fried chicken that has now overtaken the room. He sashayed to the door before looking back one last time.
"Is there a problem?"
I asked. Without saying a word, he flipped his non-existent hair and walked out the door. I text Bottom Bitch, informing him that he can come back into the room.
"You been eating chicken?"
Bottom Bitch asked as he walked in.
"No, but I almost baked a turkey in this bitch," I replied, still aggravated.
Just as I climbed in the bed after a shower that didn't rid my body of the smell of chicken grease, I get a message via one of the apps.
"Hey man, what are your rates?"
Now, that is the fastest way to get a response from me. Even if I'm exhausted, I will muster up the energy to respond and, if nothing else, schedule something for the following day. Money doesn't control me, but that statement can only remain true as long as I make enough that I don't need to worry about it. Now, after a few messages back and forth, the price became something worth getting out of bed for. I don't remember the exact amount, but it was a substantial number for an hour. The only catch was that I would have to come to his house. Out calls are always a gamble. You run the risk of them just wasting your time, it being a potential robbery, so never carry cash. Or them being a crazed killer. It's a dangerous game and you have to think of every possibility before walking into blind. It's best to require a deposit of some sort before heading there, and typically I do, even though it scares off a lot of potential clientele. As Bottom Bitch and I drove down this dark road, we discussed a plan just in case things go left. An incoherent text or a quick call to let him know things are okay, or complete silence from me, which would indicate something is wrong. As we approached what appeared to be a mini mansion, I felt a little more at ease. Now, I'm not a bird, but I chirped a few times that night. I told Bottom Bitch to wait outside. You can never be too sure in these situations. The first thing I noticed was the doors. They were so tall. As the door opened, this tall, maybe 6'5", dark-skinned man opened the door. He had some of the smoothest skin I've ever seen in my life. His teeth were pearly white. Now, whenever I go into a strange house, I make sure to check my surroundings without coming off weird. The last thing you want to do is make them uncomfortable and feel as though you're going to rob them. I immediately noticed a bunch of diplomas on the wall, and I took note of the name. I was thinking basketball player, but later I learned he was a doctor. I asked a few questions, but made sure not to be too intrusively inquisitive. He escorted me to his bedroom where I would set up for the massage. At this point, I felt comfortable enough to let Bottom Bitch know that I was all right. He asked me, where did I park? Not noticing a vehicle outside of his home, I informed him that I was in the South, and typically I don't travel alone for that very reason. He offered to drive me back to my hotel, and after I refused a few times, I finally agreed. I let Bottom Bitch know that he can go back to the hotel and that I would meet him there after I was done. I think I said something along the lines of, "He a fine ass doctor. You can go. I'm staying here forever." But don't quote me on that verbatim. As I set up my table, he stopped me and asked if I was comfortable using the bed instead. Being that it was big enough to fit four of me and still have room, I said, "Sure." As I massaged his body, I noticed that I wasn't covering much ground due to his large stature. I told him, "I need more time."
"Take all the time you need,"
he responded, looking up at me, making sure that we locked eyes. I whispered, "My time is money, sexy."
"I plan on compensating you for every second of it,"
he said once again, locking eyes with me. As I made my way down his waist, he begins to move his hips in a slow, circular motion. I guess he noticed my erection reaching up and engulfing the entire thing in his mouth. Now, typically, I would stop them, but this time, I didn't.
The combination of his warm mouth and soft lips deep-throating me made my knees buckle. He was a doctor, and as he stroked me passionately to completion, I felt healed. I crossed the line that night, but it was an encounter I don't regret. He took me by the hand and walked me into a shower that was large enough to be someone's bedroom. The water came down like a tidal wave, washing away all the shame I had about breaking one of my cardinal rules. As we showered together, the water fell from him onto me. He washed my back and kissed my neck. Afterwards, we sat around and talked for hours. I felt bad for charging him because it didn't feel like work. As he drove me back to my hotel, we promised to keep in touch and even possibly go on a real date, but I'm not sure it's doable, realistically speaking. It gets in the way of my work. What did I just do? Does this make me an escort now? Unable to fathom the idea, who am I becoming? I thought to myself. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe for notifications. Tune in next week for more amazing content. Join my Patreon, where I'll be answering your questions and dropping exclusive content. In a crisis? Text HOME to 741-741 to connect with a crisis counselor. Free 24/7 support at your fingertips. US and Canada, text 741-741. UK, text 85258. Ireland, text 50808. How it works. Text HOME to 741-741 from anywhere in the United States, anytime. Crisis Text Line is here for any crisis. A live, trained crisis counselor receives the text and responds, all from our secure online platform. The volunteer crisis counselor will help you move from a hot moment to a cool moment. Visit www.crisistextline.org for more information.